Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to the newest episode of the award-winning Conversations podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we are so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Today, I am so excited to welcome the Executive Director of Welcome to a New Life, Carla Benjamin. Carla is a graduate of the University of Findlay, where she earned a bachelor's degree in Spanish business with a minor in business administration. As the executive director of Welcome to a New Life since 2020, she has combined her professional knowledge with her personal experience to fuel her passion for supporting individuals and families striving for a better future. Carla also draws on extensive experience in customer service and engagement, having served as a member service coordinator for the Chamber of Commerce and a sales representative at WKXA 100.5, along with many years at The Ohio Bank. She is also actively involved in numerous community initiatives, including the Hancock County Community Coalition on Addiction and the Hancock County Cultural Humility Health Equity Delegation. Hi, Carla, and thank you so much for being our guest today. Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here with us today, Carla. I'm excited for our conversation and for folks to hear your story and more about Welcome to a New Life. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me to attend. I'm so excited to be able to share my story as well as share a little bit more about Welcome to a New Life. Thank you.
Well, as an educational institution, one of the things we always ask our guests is, how did you realize that you wanted education past high school?
It's really one of those things that I didn't know that that's what I wanted, to be honest with you. It started in my childhood. I come from a father and a family that education really was not one of those things that we had. And my brothers and sisters and I, we are first generation graduates right from high school, finishing that, but then to be able to go on to school. And one of the things that my dad and my parents both stressed to us was, you will get an education. You will be able to take care of yourself. So it was something that I learned at a very young age that was going to be important. I will say now, looking back, it has literally been what has got me to the point of where I'm at today. As an executive director for a nonprofit in Findlay, to be able to use those resources, understand that leadership role, understand what it is in regards to business and how the things on a daily operation that needs to be done. I would not have had that hadn't I not had gone to school and learned some of the things that I've learned. You know, when you're going through accounting, you're going through micro and macro economics, you're like, oh, but at the same time, now you look at it and say, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the experience. I'm thankful for the opportunity that a lot of people don't get.
That is fantastic. So can you tell us a little bit about the story of your life and your background and what led you to Welcome to a New Life? And can you tell us a little bit about what Welcome to a New Life is?
Absolutely. So Welcome to a New Life, we are a nonprofit organization in Findlay, and our program is a mentorship program for individuals who are part of the Hancock County criminal justice system, connecting them to wonderful volunteer mentors to help them so that that way they could live a new life, so they could live a crime-free, drug-free, productive life. And I got involved with this when it first started. So Welcome to Life got its 501c3 back in 2019. We have two wonderful co-founders, Stan Kajawa and Puck Rowe. Stan Kajawa was owner of Findlay Ford in Findlay and Hancock County. And as a business owner, he was really involved in different organizations like Big Brother, Big Sister. He had his own that he would do to try to help as many people in our community. He, as well as then Puck Rowe. Puck was retired from Columbia Gas, another businessman who did so much in our community, was very involved in different nonprofits. They both just had good influential relationships within our community. So to be able to have those, I think, was the basis of what our organization needed. Those touch points, those individuals that they were able to connect with and say, this is where we're thinking. What do you think about this?
Right.
Puck likes to talk and to share that they both actually spoke with over 200 people from all sectors with this idea to see whether they thought that it would work within our community. So speaking with judges, speaking with some donors that they got on board to say, What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Donors that they know had supported other nonprofits in our community to say, this is the idea that we have. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that was a key part of to be able to do this. They also had a board that they chose. They wanted to make sure that they had the right people sitting at the right places
mm-hmm.
as we were getting this started. To be able to have those board members from all sectors as well was important. Having those individuals coming from this county as well as the city, those that are in manufacturing, those that are part of being at the jail, our local jail,
mm-hmm.
that was important. So I truly believe that with Stans and Pucks, business, just understanding ideas of how that was supposed to roll,
mm-hmm.
the things that were needed to be able to equip and to get an organization started, such as Welcoming Life, was really a good element that needed to be done. And we now celebrated 5 years this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And so in 2020, I didn't know what I was looking for. The opportunity that they were looking for an executive director for this nonprofit came, and I saw it in the paper and had a couple friends say, Carly, you should apply for that. I knew I had some of the connections on some aspects and some of the things I qualified. And so I took the leap and I applied and I went for my interview. And one of the questions is, mm-hmm. why would you want to be the first executive director for this nonprofit? It's real simple, Dr. Somerville. I'm a product of someone that was given that second chance. I am proud to say I'm a migrant worker's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is one out of a big Hispanic family with a sixth grade education. This is why the education part was so important to him for me and my family growing up. I do what I do because there was a wonderful pastor that became my dad's mentor. When my dad, at the age of 27, after he had lived a life in drugs, was using drugs, doing drugs, but at the age of 27, he changed his life. This pastor showed him how to be that father, showed him mm-hmm. how to be the husband. And my parents became evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go around to the migrant camps around Pandora, Gilboa, like all the area. And their heart and soul was to reach those, the unheard, the unwanted, the unloved.
Mm-hmm.
Those that don't know, and give them hope, right? And so applying for this job, I shared this.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that things don't happen by coincidence. I
right.
think that the education and me being in Findlay, the places that I worked, were all aligning me for such a time as this,
mm-hmm.
of being able to share. And, you know, as we are going to the jail and we're talking to third generation, second generation of individuals in the jail, following that cycle, I was able to share with them, like, you could change. My dad did this. And because of that, it broke the cycle of illiteracy. It broke the cycle
mm-hmm.
of poverty. It broke the cycle of addiction. So that's mm-hmm. kind of summarizing it a little bit for you as to my why.
But what an awesome why. I mean, I don't know how you can think about what it is you do as executive director over Welcome to a New Life, hear your story and your path, and not have goosebumps.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of times we talk about the work that people are meant to do. I don't know how you could see that any other way.
I appreciate that. I honestly feel as though the vision that Puck and Stan had, alongside of what I had learned growing up, it's just, I can't explain it other than it's a godsend. And to be honest with you, I believe that everything that we do, we are here to share that compassion. We are here to help individuals in some way. And I believe that this is my way
mm-hmm.
to be able to pass on that legacy that Dad left us as, you know, his kids, but also the legacy that Stan and Puck are also wanting to leave in our community.
I very much remember the 5th anniversary celebration down in Findlay, and for people to share memories about when the organization was first getting started and the motivation, and to be able to have some of the people who have been recipients of services mm-hmm. from Welcome to a New Life and be able to talk about what they're doing now. It's pretty amazing the transformational impact that Welcome to a New Life has on people.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can you talk a little bit more in specifics about some of the services and programs you had mentioned, mentors? But, you know, if you're just a human being and you don't have any sort of special training or skills or background, how can you be helpful in working with the mentees for Welcome to a New Life?
The way you can be helpful in working with mentees is that we truly believe that everyone either has time, talent, or treasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people If you have that ability to have that time and mentorship. Mentorship is really being someone's friend. One of the things that one of our mentees said when he was asked from a mentor, what exactly do you just want from me? And he said, I just want a friend. I think that showing compassion and being there to be someone's friend, accountability partner, goal setting, helping them understand. Sometimes some individuals have never even had some of those upbringings where they've been able to set some of those goals up. So to be able to help them goal set the short-term goals, the long-term goals, whether it's short-term of being able to get your high school diploma, trying to get your valid driver's license, paying off some of the court fines so that that way you could then move on to the next level. Those are the things that we're trying to help these individuals do. Resources and connections, you know, someone that can't be involved in this capacity, but maybe you're that resource that could be that connection of, Carla, whenever you have someone that needs a second chance, I'm willing to hire. Carla, if you ever have someone that needs this, this, or this, to be able to be that phone call away and say, here's someone in our program. Mm-hmm. It's always beautiful to see where individuals open that up, open right. those conversations up and say, I'm willing to work with an individual as long as that you are vouching for them, because that's really what we're trying to do is vouch for individuals. Ongoing support, I think that being able to give that ongoing support is one of the biggest things that we continue to do. Mentors are going to be able to do is give that ongoing support.
One of the things that you mentioned is vouching for folks to be able to get a job, and that people have reached out to you and said, when you need someone, please let me know. I'm willing to make a hire. And the city of Findlay really has embraced the idea of second chances. The city even recognizes that April is Second Chances Month. And so can you talk a little bit about that community support? Because an organization like Welcome to a New Life can't exist in and of itself. It has to have that community support. But there really seems to be an openness in Findlay.
Oh, absolutely. The collaboration in itself, I say this all the time, Findlay is a blessed community. We have a lot of wonderful resources, a lot of collaboration. And with the Second Chance Month in April, it's a great way for us to promote awareness, right? Awareness of what it's like. What could we do for those formerly incarcerated? What could we do for those justice impacted individuals that are coming back into our community? And understanding that their backstory, their history does not determine and is not something that needs to identify them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. What could we do to promote that change? And so Second Chance Month in Findlay, we have the municipal court who is doing some things in their court system. Our Common Pleas Court does some things in their system as well, like drug court. Municipal court has the driving under suspension. They have a day where they allow people to come in and talk about those fines and fees and try to see if they could get them to get their license back. So there's a lot of that support happening. It reduces stigma. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things of being able to have Second Chance Month and having those open conversations is the reduction of stigma, letting people know that you're seeing them and you're hearing them and you want to support them in any way. It fosters opportunity for us to be able to have a community that's creating this, creating it in education and essential stuff that, you know, for people to have successful lives and be successful in reentry. One of the biggest things that I think that we're noticing is that now that people are more open to this reentry, it's reducing that recidivism, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm able to come to you and talk to you about some of those barriers that I have, and you're able to help me with some of those barriers, chances are I'm not going to go back and continue to do crime because I don't have to worry about the hustle anymore to try to pay this or that. Mm-hmm. I'm able now to work and do the things that I need to do. And it strengthens our mission. I think one of the biggest things that we're seeing is that the mission is mentorship, reducing recidivism. Our mentorship and that combined with everything else that the community is doing to support it with programming. There's a lot of different programs now that's available for people to go and do together. as peers helping peers. It's all that community that's important. And to see that manufacturing companies, that all sectors are part of this now, it's amazing. That's why I said Finley is very blessed.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Because, I mean, you know, you've talked about the people who come through your doors and, you know, obviously the organization at 5 years old. Can you talk about the change in Welcome to a New Life since it was originally founded? How has it grown? How have people found their way to you?
Absolutely. So they find us through referrals, either from probation. We are working currently now also with the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation Corrections.
Okay.
So those justice impacted individuals, we have now a Hancock County Coalition, which is also comprised of a lot of different nonprofits, different sectors again, that are engaging and trying to do what we can to help individuals that are coming back to our community. Since Welcome to New Life has started, back in 2019, we had 14 mentors and we had 10 mentees. We are up to 31 mentors. We actually had a little bit more, but some of them are retiring and moving out of state. I just had a conversation with one of our mentors. He lives in Florida now. And We got to see a mentee that we had talked to a couple years ago. He wasn't ready. Downright just wasn't ready. And got to see him yesterday. And as he comes in, we're talking and we're sharing. And he talks about his change and how his mindset has changed and so on and so forth. So last night, as I was getting ready to leave the office, I called the mentor in Florida. And I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know. He's doing great. I said, and by the way, he has made a drastic change in his faith with also in his new life. And his mentor's like, Carla, I'm just going to tell you right now. He's like, I listened to this as I was getting ready to leave my office and I about had tears in my eyes. And he's like, this is so touching. He goes, please tell him. I'm so proud of him. Please tell him if he wants to reach out. So even though there's mentors that have moved away, they still stay connected. So I called the gentleman today and said, hey, by the way, I told the mentor this. And he goes, oh my goodness, I'm so glad that you did. I will be contacting him. So although we are at 31, there is still a lot of connection with some mentors. And that before we were like close to 37 mentors. We have 52 mentees.
Wow.
We're also working with individuals. We have 12 out of the 52. There's 12 of those individuals that are actually in prison. While they're in prison, during the week, every week, we send out a Motivation Monday. And in this Motivation Monday, we also then send it to those that are in prison. What's nice about that is that when they are released, they have come to us and said to us, that was one thing that I looked forward to. There was a young lady that was released a month ago, and she shared that. She shared, that was one of the things that I looked forward to every Monday. I would share it with those in my block and keep them motivated because they would never get things like that. Wow. It's the touches. It's the simple touch of showing people that you care, right? We have seen and been able to celebrate moments and milestones with a lot of our mentees. We've seen them with their sobriety dates, enjoying and saying, you know, I'm celebrating 18 months in sobriety. I'm celebrating 4 years, 2 years. Also, we've seen the reduction in recidivism. We've seen families reunited. We've seen babies being able to stay with their moms when moms are pregnant and now wanting to change their life. And so connecting them and helping them stay with those resources so that that way, when upon delivery, they're able to keep those babies. Renting their own place for the first time, giving back. Maslow's hierarchy, right? We're helping with those basic needs. But then at the very top of that pyramid is that service. We're seeing that. We're seeing individuals donating a ham because they are so grateful they want to donate something too. We are seeing individuals working in recovery now. We have four people in our program that are now also working in some type of recovery themselves. And the transition of being able to help them find good jobs so that they could find the best version of themselves, right? They're finding this upon themselves. We have some that have gotten their GED. One of them was from Owens, and that was during COVID. And, you know, to be able to get all this taken care of and for him to stay on it was amazing. And he talks about it all the time. And on my Facebook memory post, there's a picture of him cheesing it up at Cheddar's because he was celebrating the fact that he had gotten his GED. So that was pretty amazing. We've seen others that have graduated drug court. There's all kinds of things that we've seen. And so it's been a blessed 5 years to be able to see individuals truly finding themselves. It takes them to make that mindset. It takes them to put the work in. We're just all that village that's supporting them to help them through that.
You had talked a little bit about the mentor down in Florida and wanting to stay connected, but you know, there are obviously some barriers there. How do you match mentors with mentees?
It's a divine thing. I can't tell you that secret. No. Honestly, it's hearing what the mentees are saying, but it's also hearing what the mentors are saying when we meet with them. We find mentors. We've had speaking engagements at different churches. We've had mentors that have been part of our program just because they're now retired and wanted something to do. We are involved in going to different fairs, different speaking opportunities at service groups, whatever opportunity and platform is available for us to try to recruit mentors. Once we have those conversations with them, once we have that and the mentors come in expressing that they want to get involved, we listen to what they have to say. Most of the time, and this is my question that I ask to board members, staff, as well as our mentors, is what's your why? And most of the time, every single one of them have had a why, whether they've been impacted by a family member or know someone, a close friend, that they've seen struggle, that they've seen be, you know, in these predicaments as the individuals that we're working with. And so listening to what they have to say, we ask them what kind of hobbies they have, what kind of things they like to do. We ask the mentees that same question. And then from there, we do the match. We meet them. We connect them. We have like a lunch or dinner or whatever it could be. And then we stay connected with the mentor. We are able to provide some training for the mentors. We reach out to professionals within our community, like Dr. Don Malakas, who is a retired licensed psychologist from the University of Findlay, Dr. George Hassink, NAMI, who does mental health training, different sectors to be able to provide the mentors great resources as they are working into this. We've had the criminal justice side come in and kind of explain, what does it mean with a felony 2, 3, 4, and 5? What does it mean for them to be a pretrial? So to be able to pull those great people to come and do those type of trainings is what we use for that. But typically, it's really important to listen and to hear the need and to hear what is expected and what the mentor is also expecting.
So in terms of the training, you had used the term friend earlier. You're not looking for someone to come in and be an expert in X, Y, or Z, but someone who's willing to listen, to spend time.
Right.
Invest in learning more about another human being, knowing that there's certain resources that are there to help support them with whatever questions and understanding that they need.
That's correct. We often talk about how sometimes a mentor fills in that gap.
Mm-hmm.
Gap of a father, mother, grandparent, aunt, uncle. And it really is those times where sometimes when we're doing the training, we mention to the mentor, hey, if they do something that you're like, use it as an educational moment. Use it as one of those things where you're like, hey, maybe next time, maybe you should do it this way. Maybe and give some options and opportunities. Kind of like what we do when we're giving someone an evaluation. We're just always trying to make it better. Don't always downgrade what they did wrong, but how can we make things better?
And that providing that support for them.
Absolutely.
Understanding and support. So there seems to be an increased emphasis placed on helping and working with people who are justice impacted. And so what kind of societal and economic trends do you think have led to this shift?
I think there's a rising awareness of mass incarceration. I think media has done that. I believe that even through the state of Ohio, having Governor DeWine really push reentry in our community and provide services. This is why we're working with the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, who's saying, hey, we need to have more coalitions in all counties, not just Hancock County. But what could we do to help this? I think that economic costs of incarceration, it costs a lot of money, to, you know, $117 a day to have someone incarcerated.
Wow.
So what could we do to reduce that? Provide more focused type groups, provide reentry ways to reintegrate programs so that we could reduce that. And long-term cost. I think the workforce shortage during COVID really kind of pushed some things as well.
Absolutely.
Because I really believe that during that time, yeah, there was some places closing, but then there was also those places that were needing some support. And I believe at that time, they were more apt to offer and hire those maybe with a felony. Reducing stigma around second chances, I think that that has also been a trend, that there is more openness to be able to reduce some of those conversations when it comes to that. data supporting recidivism, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing that. The social justice movements, changing policy landscapes, and then also community-based approaches, and that's where Welcome New Life kind of falls right in. We are that local nonprofit that is really taking these roles of mentoring and helping individuals connect with the community. Mm-hmm. In some capacity. And so I think that those are the things that are really offering that, but it had to take it from the state level. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're seeing also federal level of being able to help individuals as they are making these changes in their life. When you have people being able to now expunge their record sealing and doing those type of things, that is opportunity that was not as open conversation as it is now. Workforce, where they're trying to help. We have some great programmings that we're working with. Owens is a part of that with Work Advance and Raise the Bar. Mm-hmm. Being able to have those type of programs that are saying, you know what, I understand that you have this on your record, but we're going to work with you.
Right.
Those are things that weren't, you know, even 5 years ago, mm-hmm. weren't available, but now they are. Being able to see what we could do, being intentional in mm-hmm. conversations, in those right seats. I believe that this is what's opening some doors, and this is what's trending and why the change is starting to happen.
To your point, there's so much conversation about workforce and workforce needs and needing people to fill a variety of jobs. You know, you have a population of people who may not have been considered in the past who are now being looked at differently in terms of opportunity that mm-hmm. like, maybe we really should, you know, think about some of these concepts. It's good for the individuals and their families and the community and what it provides for themselves. But also when you look at kind of the greater picture with workforce development and business and industry too.
That's correct.
So you mentioned our partnership and our work with Work Advance. And of course, at Owens, we believe very much that education is a pathway to a lot of things in terms of transforming your life. Can you talk a little bit about that partnership from your perspective and why education and training is important?
I loved the partnership because from the very beginning when I made the call, of what I was looking for. It wasn't a, let me get back to you, let me figure this out, or the ghosting of the email that you don't get responses for a while. It was like, we will do what we can to make this work. It's wonderful to see mm-hmm. that Owens was open to having those conversations of the GED with the individual. Mm-hmm. We've had other conversations about helping individuals pay some debt that they have so that they could go back to school. To be able to take care of some of those things and help them achieve that is amazing. I think education equips individuals with skills and knowledge and confidence to build stable, productive lives after incarceration. It opens the doors for better job opportunities. It reduces, again, the recidivism and fosters a sense of purpose and self-worth. Partnerships with institutions like Owens provide tools and resources to overcome barriers during reentry. And, you know, I learned at a young age how important it was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just for myself, but it was actually for the future generation.
Absolutely.
Right? Generations to come, you're breaking the cycle and you're helping your kids understand the importance of how, you know, if you get this done, then this opportunity. And if you get that done, then maybe this opportunity. And so I think that access to education ensures a smoother transition for the individual, right, mm-hmm. to come back into society, but it also promotes long-term success for not only themselves, but their family.
It's amazing. You mentioned the piece about family, and you think about your story and how your parents had a, you know, certain level of educational attainment, and they didn't necessarily see it in the cards for them in their future, but through you, you became part of their future and
that's
how
correct.
They wanted to value education through you and your siblings.
That's correct. You know, before my dad passed, he had made the comment, who would have ever thought a migrant worker like me, and to see his grandchildren now as successful as what they were doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's the generational thing. It's the empowerment mm-hmm. that we give someone. It's how they feel when they're able to hold a certificate of something that they've been able to complete, mm-hmm. right? And I will show you a picture of the gentleman that I was talking about and on my Facebook memory where, I mean, he's just this, the grin. You can't buy that type of grin. Nothing could give you that satisfaction more than to see someone be able to say, I did this, mm-hmm. I completed it. And so this is what's so important about being able to get their education.
You're right. I mean, there's that sense of pride. It's that self-determinism. you know, that they're able to do whatever it is. There may be support and aids, but they did it on their own. It's their effort.
Right.
That's incredible. Yeah. So Owens isn't the only organization that you partner with. You have tons of partnerships throughout the communities. So can you talk a little bit about the organizations and who you work with, who you like to work with, and how that kind of overall engagement is so important to Welcome to a New Life success?
Absolutely. So we work with almost every single nonprofit in mm-hmm. Findlay and Hancock County when it comes to either housing, food. Those basic needs that some of the mentees will need right away. That is important. Employment, addiction recovery resources. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to follow back through and say, okay, we got to go back and, you know, you got to go take another class of thinking for a change or whatever it is that you need to do. So those collaborations allow us to connect these individuals with the right resources and essential services that they need in order for them to continue their new life journey. We work very closely with Hope House, with Chopin Hall, Christian Clearinghouse, Children's Mentoring Connection. There's times where we even will make a connection with this person in our program. Maybe, you know, we work with their kids getting in a program. There are so many programs in Findlay and Hancock County that I hate to miss anyone. Mm-hmm. Sorry if anybody else is listening. But really just trying our best to make those connections as much as possible. Being able to go and even at the University of Findlay, trying to work with them, Findlay Digital downstairs for those that maybe want the 2022 plus high school mm-hmm. diploma. We are just trying our best to engage and know about any resource that's available for our mentees. I think it honestly strengthens the impact that we're trying to make with those partnerships. It amplifies our reach and it makes it more effective. It builds community. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot of these individuals that we're working with. Lots of times they're coming in, they're scared, and they're like, okay, I'm doing this on my own. I don't know. This is very uncommon for me. And so when we emphasize and tell them all the time, hey, you know, you're building your community, you're building your village, they're actually seeing it. They're actually seeing us work together to foster a stronger, united community dedicated for us to help and support them. And it also then enhances stability. Mm-hmm. I think being able to collaborate our efforts shares the resources and expertise by helping us be able to give long term. Mm-hmm. It's not for just like, okay, we're just doing this now just to, you know, right. pacify it. It's really like, what could we continue to do? The Habitat, they have the Financial Opportunity Center who, you know, hey, I'll help you with the budget. I'll help you figure all of this out. And so to be able to lean on different agencies and say, mm-hmm. here is what this person's struggling with. How could we help connect them? It's been amazing. And I would not be where I'm at. Welcome to Life would not be where we're at mm-hmm. without this collaboration that we are very blessed to have.
There's a lot of different organizations who can come together, and it's almost like Welcome to a New Life kind of braids a lot of those resources together in order to help the people who you serve.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what's really nice about this also is that the Community Foundation mm-hmm. has been a great support. It's not only for Welcome to New Life, but mm-hmm. other nonprofits, and it helps us be able to continue that tie, that mm-hmm. partnership, the collaboration, bringing in the Hancock County Reentry Coalition, another tie to bring right. in how important it is to work together. Everyone's busy. Everyone has their strengths. Everyone's doing their thing. No time to duplicate services. Instead, let's work together to utilize the services, the right. things that you are able to do so that that way we could all make a better mm-hmm. community for ourselves.
That sounds fantastic. So we talked about the community organizations. But what about community members? So actual individuals who probably have already heard of Welcome to a New Life or who are listening to your incredible story or podcast and they want to know how is it that I can get involved? What are some of the ways that an individual can support Welcome to a New Life or offer support?
So the mentorship is the time. You know, mm-hmm. We talk about time, talent, and treasure. That mm-hmm. is the time. Being able to say, I have the time to be a mentor with an individual. Could also get involved with Welcome to Life by talent. Maybe mm-hmm. you're the one to make cookies and say, you know what? I want to bless several families with dozens of cookies. We have some volunteer opportunities at our office sometimes that you could come in and volunteer, stuff envelopes, send out birthday cards, send out things for individuals that are in our program. Mm-hmm. You could also get involved by being there and being a part of some of those celebrations of moments and milestones that we do with our mentees. Mm-hmm. We had our Christmas party at the dock over in Findlay, and to be able to see these families enjoying their time, being there. to support them and showing them that they care. Talking to us about some opportunities for employment. Other opportunities that you may have for mentees or mentors to volunteer at together, give of service. Also with treasure. If you're not able to do time talent, then you could also do treasure. We have for Giving Tuesday, we did our gift card drive. What we do with our gift card drive is we are trying to collect as many gift cards from different restaurants. And that is what the mentors use when they meet with the mentee. They use those gift cards as they're building their relationship. So say, I can't do either one of those things, but here's a gift card to Bob Evans. You know, that would be wonderful for us to be able to have that. That is a way for you to plant seed. Mm-hmm. You're planting seed as you get involved. You're planting seed and showing people that you are empowering them and that you believe in them and that you want to give them hope in their new life journey. So those are different ways that you could get involved. I see us trending and I see more change coming for Welcome New Life. And there might be things that might be changing where we're going to say, oh, we need a volunteer for this now. We need someone to come organize this, or we need some that we're expanding, so we're going to need this. We're not there yet. But when we are, those are the times that we will need some people to step up and say, I'm ready now. I'm ready to come in. And that's going to be exciting when all of these things start happening for Welcome to New Life.
I'm struck by the gift card. Something as simple as stopping by your local whatever where you may already be going and knowing that if you can be sent your way to help to facilitate the mentor-mentee relationship is pretty awesome.
We had to come up with something to do for Giving Tuesday during COVID. And myself and the other another lady were like, this would be a win-win, right? We support our local businesses by picking up a gift card. We then support Welcome New Life. So we don't have to use our own resources. And then we're also supporting that relationship. So it's a win-win-win. And we love it. We love that we're able to support as many businesses as possible with this approach.
That is awesome. We've talked a little bit about the growth and how it started and where it's headed. But what's next for Welcome to a New Life?
Oh, that's a good question. and I wish I had like a way for me to be able to like vision it a little bit more. I will say, though, program expansion is probably what's next. There's been conversations of Welcome to New Life expanded into other counties, surrounding counties, because our court system is Hancock County, right?
Right.
But we also have individuals that maybe have some things going on at different court systems. So what could we do to expand? I think that that might be something in the future. Continuing strengthening our partnerships, I think that being able to do that will help us if we get to that point of expanding Welcome to Your Life. But I believe that those are conversations that have started. We're like a baby, right? We're infancy stage when we first started. We are now crawling and we're treading there. We're seeing where we're at. And who knows how much sooner things will go. But I think at this point in time, I think that that would be the possibility of us entering other counties.
It kind of recognizes the need and the broad nature of the need that's there. And there's a lot of work to be done everywhere. But I think that, that folks probably are very appreciative of the services that you have to offer and wish there was a way to access them. So speaking of that, what advice would you give to people in our communities who either have been incarcerated or may have a loved one who has been incarcerated, and understanding that Welcome to a New Life is happy to help with individuals, but also maybe it's not in an area where they can get to. What advice do you give them about how to approach that reentry conversation?
One of the biggest advices that I would say would be embrace support. There is a lot of individuals that we've started working with that have had that as probably the hardest thing. I think especially for men, to let that guard down and say, I need help. Seek support. Seek those programs. Seek those mentors. Seek those resources designed to help you as you're navigating reentry process successfully. Don't be afraid to engage, because these programs are really legit. And focus on your growth. Change takes time. We say this all the time to our individuals. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. So set small, achievable goals and celebrate their progress along the way. We celebrate all kinds of stuff at our office. We're always like, ooh, celebrate, you know, moments and milestones. So we're always celebrating moments and milestones. But it's celebrating those type of things and letting them celebrate and let them feel how proud of them you are. When I make that comment, I say it all the time. When there are times that things have happened with individuals that don't go the way that they want to, and they've come in the office with their head down, ashamed, whatever reason might be. And we say to them, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you because you've made the steps to take and to go look for, whether it's going into a treatment center, whether it's going for this or that. And when you say those words that you're proud of them,
mm-hmm.
it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
The head, instead of being shrugged down, they lift up. You can see a tear here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear somebody say, I'm proud of you, it's impactful. And so we want to continue to do that. I would also say stay connected. Surround yourself with positive influences like family and mentor and community, or an organization that encourages you and also gives that accountability.
Right.
You can't grow if there's no accountability. You can't grow if you stay stagnant. Find things that are going to continue to help you grow. And then believe in second chances. Past doesn't define you. So stay committed to building a better future and know that there are people and opportunities ready to help you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we try to do. And those are the things that I would encourage others. Family members, there are resources there. There are things for you to do as well. So that way you could help your family member. Seek those out. Seek those out so that you're available and you are also equipped with resources as things come along your way, because this is not a one-man journey. This is a community.
I would imagine that being that family member of someone who's just as impacted is in many ways like being a caregiver. And, you know, we talk a lot more today than we used to about the needs of people who are caregivers, be they of young people or of older people and everyone in between. And so are there a lot of support programs out there for family members or loved ones of people who are just as impacted?
Yes. I know that Adamus has been doing a great job of trying to offer programming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the treatment centers, a lot of like Family Resource Center has programming. NAMI has programming. So there's a lot of places that are trying to do their best to offer resources so that way they could help them as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be at an event that the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation was doing at the library in Findlay, and that conversation came up of things and programming
mm-hmm.
that they are also trying to help equip mm-hmm. individuals with. So it's not something that a lot of times is easy for people to admit
mm-hmm.
that you're in this situation. But once you are able to get past that and really seek out services, there's things available. There's a lot of things even online that are available for individuals, for those that are just as impacted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of doing a little digging sometimes. Mm-hmm. But also, like I said, in Findlay and Hancock County, there are some available.
That is awesome. Carla, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you as a guest on the Conversations podcast. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our community and how you're really helping people transform their lives. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what it is you do as an individual, but also the partnership that you have with Owens Community College. Thank you.
I am truly honored and humbled to be able to be a part of this. Dr. Somerville, you and your staff, thank you for also offering and opening that door of hope for individuals that are wanting to change their life and giving them the opportunity of education and a new life as well. We appreciate that.
Thank you. We do this together. Carla, thank you so much for being with us today. I am so inspired by your personal story and the dedication that you bring to Findlay. Thank you for all that you do on behalf of our community. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.